It's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Morena, Prime Minister, how are you?
Morena, not too bad. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Yeah, very good. We're trialling out tests producing from home, so we're doing our social distancing up at BFM at the moment.
Good on you.
We've got some questions that have come in from listeners. Some are quite immediate ones and then some are long-term. So I thought we'd start with the immediate stuff that we've seen coming through. A lot of our listeners are renting and, of course, have lost a lot of their primary income. Even with the wage subsidies and prevention of eviction that we've got for the time being, people are worried about their long-term ability to pay their rent. We've seen a mortgage holiday for landlords. Is a rental holiday something that your government's also considering?
Well, of course, the mortgage holiday, that came from the banks. So that was a decision by the banks, one, of course, that we really encouraged. And it simply means that there's a period for which those mortgage holders can delay repayments. It doesn't get rid of them, of course, it just delays. You know, real hope in this period of time is that we see a really compassionate position from landlords, so that if they have a rental property, for instance, that they may still be paying the mortgage on, that they may be able to provide some relief there for tenants that they have that may be in a situation where they're not able to pay their rent for a period of time. You talked about evictions. What we've specifically done is increase the amount of arrears. So It's 60 days now that you can be behind before we're entering into a point where you can have a grounds for termination. So that's an attempt to create some space for renters, particularly through the four-week period of isolation.
Is it potentially on the cards still, though, that we could see more support in the long term for renters?
It is a really difficult area because, of course, it's primarily the private rental market. There are other forms of social support, though, that can be put in place for people who are in, who have lost income. So through our welfare system, that's the way that usually we would support people so that they don't lose their homes. And so, again, I'd encourage anyone who has lost income to reach out to Work and Income. Online is a place where you can make a lot of applications over the phone. There are some delays, as you would expect at this period of time, but don't hesitate, don't wait. Do reach out if you need extra financial support. To landlords, though, I will continue to just ask for this compassion that we need right now. And I have seen it. I have seen people send me photos of letters I've had from their landlords saying, if you lose your income, call us. We'll work something out. So that there is that out there.
Looking towards the longer term now, you've indicated that border controls might need to remain in place until we have a vaccine for COVID-19. What time frame are you imagining we may need to prepare for in terms of limiting the movement of people? Could it be up to 2 years?
Well, there's been a lot of discussion around the usual timelines for vaccines and talk of from the time that, of course, we were familiar with COVID-19 of anything between 12 and 18 months. You see in the EU there's been some talk of reducing down some of the usual processes that need to be gone through in order to expedite a vaccine. So it really is a bit of an unknown at this point. I think what everyone will have seen, though, is that for New Zealand, our best strategy is going to be to manage COVID-19 on an ongoing basis. So the numbers that we have at any given time is very small. And that's simply because if we have a huge wave of cases, our health system wouldn't cope. No health system in the world can cope with a huge wave. And so that has to be our strategy, and our borders have to play a part in that.
In the media today, in the press in Christchurch, there's a bit of speculation about if the government is trying to eradicate or flatten the curve and what the difference between those two things could be. What is the way that you're envisaging it at the moment, Prime Minister?
Yeah, you will have heard me talk about really early on this idea of waves. And so we created the alert level system so that when we see that we have an increasing number of cases, that we can then step up our response to meet that, and then we can step back down when we've overcome those small waves. And the reason we've talked about those small waves is, as I've said, that's the way we make sure our health system copes. That's how we can treat everyone that needs to be treated. It doesn't mean staying in alert level 4 all the time or until there's a vaccine, and I do want to dismiss that idea. That's just not sustainable.
Obviously, tourism is going to take a big hit from any restrictions on the movement of people. Should universities and the creative industries, for example, those ones that also rely on moving people across borders, start to be planning for these longer term restrictions potentially?
I think it would be wise for us to think about the long-term impacts of for the world on travel, because I don't think New Zealand will be alone in having to think about the way we the way our borders work. And so I think that will be an international trend for a time. So I do think planning around that, we certainly are, and I would expect anyone where they rely heavily on lots of international movements to really think about how they might work a little bit differently over a period of time. I am specifically thinking a lot about the arts and our creative community. It's something that the Minister of Finance and I are thinking about as we work towards thinking about the recovery for certain sectors. Tourism, the arts, they have taken a big hit.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about hospitals before we let you go. This rahui that we're undertaking at the moment as a country is obviously creating this precious time where we can be building our capacity in our healthcare system. Currently, how prepared are our hospitals for this unfolding situation, Prime Minister?
Very well prepared, not least because, of course, I've got extra capacity I've created capacity mm-hmm. in preparation, and we have doubled our ICU capacity, and that's obviously, if you do have a large wave of cases, you expect a certain percentage to call on your ICU capacity, and so that preparation was important. It's also given us the time to register over 6,000 health professionals who had either left health or recently retired from health who are willing to come back into the system. And so our level of preparedness has increased, obviously, over the time we've had to build that. It's just a matter of avoiding having to call on it.
Just before we let you go, I did want to touch base on the fact that obviously a lot of people are finding this a very overwhelming time, especially in terms of mental health. What do you find personally helps with the pressure of this, you know, very unusual situation we're going through right now?
Yeah, and I think there's two levels, I think. And one is, you know, it can be really stressful if you look at what's happening overseas. I mean, some of what other countries are experiencing is pretty staggering, and that can be quite overwhelming, mm-hmm. Thinking or wondering or worrying that might happen to New Zealand. So the first thing to allay people's anxiety there is that we have managed to learn from others, and that's why we moved so early and why we went so hard, was to avoid being those other countries. And so I want people to feel confident that won't be us because of the decisions that we've made really early on. I think the second level of well-being issues is really just about isolation in itself, mm-hmm. and it is an incredibly hard thing for us to be putting the whole country through, and I absolutely understand that. And so what I hope is that people are reaching out. We are equally trying to put in support mechanisms. We're doing call-outs to vulnerable people. We've kept our social services as essential services. But to anyone, if you don't have anyone to talk to, call 1737. If you're in a dark spot or need assistance, do reach out.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Prime Minister. We really appreciate you speaking with us, and we will be speaking to you again in a couple of weeks.
You will. Look after yourselves, everyone.
Yeah, you too. Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye.
Ka kite.
That was What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.